In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So this is Luisa Picaretta, The Mediatrix of All Divine Life, Part 3, and we are on page 11, Volume 36, 828, 1938. Jesus begins, therefore, one act in my divine will can give me all, love me for all, and make me, Jesus, do the greatest excesses of love and works towards the creatures, towards the souls. So here Jesus is showing that one eye blink in the divine will gives God everything. Why? Because you're participating in the prime act of God. You're participating in the divine will. So one eye blink, one step, one breath, one heartbeat, Jesus says, gives me everything. Everything that God wants. And how can that be? Because the divine will is God. To enter into this will of God is to participate in God. Okay, so remember what Jesus says. He says, not my will, but your will, Father. He's doing the will of the Father. Our Lady says, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. Total surrender, total docility. Luisa was taught the fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign in me on earth, this dust, as the saints possess you in heaven. So one act, and this is what we have to begin to understand. This is why Jesus says, don't lose a moment. Don't lose an act. Every eye blink, every step that you take, every breath that you take, if to do this in the divine will is so essential. Jesus says to Luisa, if you want to love me the way I want to be loved, he says, love me in my will. So to love God in the will of God is to love God with God's own love. It's God that's loving God. And he's the only one that can love God perfectly is himself. So this is why he created us to be as an image and likeness to do what God does. So when we say, I love you in the divine will, I love you in your will, what happens? We're giving God everything that he wants. And then we love God for everyone, past, present, and future. For every person that was ever conceived, we love God. And then he says, make me, God, do the greatest excesses of love and works towards mankind. So what's happening is, as we learn to live in the divine will, we're bringing the kingdom of God sooner on earth. The more we practice doing everything in the will of God, the more we begin to enter into this life, the sooner the kingdom's coming. Why? God's getting everything ready. He's using us to accomplish what he has planned. And how does that happen? We're getting out of his way. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Then we get out of the way, let Jesus breathe in our breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. We get out of the way and let Jesus beat in our heart beating. Why? We're doing this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. You know, every heartbeat of every human that ever existed and everything that ever came into creation. Every animal, vegetable, and mineral, every thought, word, and deed, everything is being redone in the divine will. The face of the earth is being renewed. And so what God is asking, he's asking us to get out of the way, to do one act in the divine will, because we're not doing it. It's we're asking Jesus to do it. So that's why you start with your prevenient act in the morning, and throughout the day, you're doing everything in the will of God. I want to drive in the will of God. I want to walk in the will of God. I want to have my lunch in the will of God. I want to do everything one with God, God doing everything one in with me, with and through and for me, as I do everything with and through and for him. It's the mutual possession. It's the fusing together of the human will with the divine. So this is what God's looking for. And that's what we got. We have to get this through our little pea brains that what Jesus wants for us is to begin again to live the life that Adam lost. To begin to live the life that Jesus lived, to live the life that Mary lived, the new Adam and the new Eve. And the only human that ever did this was Luisa. So when we link ourselves to Luisa, we begin to live this abundant life. It's not to do what it's not to do what the saints have done, doing the will of God, but living in the will of God as Jesus did, living in the will of God as the Blessed Mother did, living in the will of God that Adam did before the fall, living in the will of God that Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. So he says very clearly, and when in my most holy divine will, I, Jesus, in Louisa, in the steps of everyone, when in my will, I in her, in the steps of all, loving me in their thoughts, loving me with their words, my divine joy is such that my emphasis of love, I say to Louisa, you are doing what I, Jesus, did. And for this, I, God, call you my echo. I, God, call you my love. I, God, call you my little echo of my life. The little echo of my life. So here's three titles of the 2,200 titles that Jesus gave to Louisa. Again, it's very clear. This is not where we are now. This is where God wants us to be. So he says very clearly, when in my divine will, and I in Louisa's, in the steps of everyone. So when Louisa walks, it's Jesus walking and walking in the name of every human being, past, present, and future. Everyone is then given a share in this gift of the divine will. God is doing this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Loving me with all mankind's thoughts, past, present, and future, with their words. And then he says, my joy, my great joy, my divine joy is such that in an emphasis of divine love, I say to Louisa, and now to us who are learning this, linked to Louisa, you are doing what I did. And that's what Jesus says. You do far greater things than I. He says this to the apostles. How can we do far greater things than God? It's by letting God reign in us. And we're letting God, the most holy divine will reign in us. He says very clearly, you are doing what I did, and for this I call you my echo. And that's what God is looking for in us. He wants to hear in us his word. He wants to see in us, you know, him gazing. He wants to hear in us Jesus listening in our listening. It's he wants to make our human acts divine, because that's the only thing that pleases God. Human acts do not please God. Human acts are good and holy and saintly, but God wants divinity. That's why, I mean, you always got to think about St. Peter walking on the water. That's a divine act. And when Peter says, command me to come to you, take my prayer and make it your command, Jesus said, come. And he walks on the water. Peter does he does what a human can't do, walks on the water. Why? Because that's what God does. So God is showing us that he is expecting, even with Philip, he said to Philip, you feed the 5,000. He wanted Philip to do that. And what does Philip say? Not even 200 days wages. Do we have enough money to feed these people? You know, I mean, you're asking an impossibility. Well, this is not impossible now. Because of what God gave to Louisa, everything is possible. Jesus can walk in our walking. Jesus can breathe in our breathing. We're allowing him, we're using our free will to allow Jesus to breathe in our breathing, to walk in our walking, to dance in our dancing, to sing in our singing. We're allowing God to be the Lord of us in all aspects. This is what he's waiting. He's been waiting for this for 6,000 years. This is how Adam lived. Adam was in a perennial communion with God. What we have right now in Holy Communion is 15 minutes of being with Jesus until the host dissolves. And then that real presence of Jesus is dissolved. It's gone. We have it for 15 minutes. And this is the holiest time of day where we can pray and adore and love and glorify God the way he wants to be adored. And that's divinely. It's a time of getting in this communion with God so that we can get ready for that perennial communion where we will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening as Adam did. So Jesus is saying, I want to call you my echo. I want to call you my love. I want to call you my little echo of my life. So again, God, he did things perfectly. And we're letting Jesus breathe in our breathing, that one breath. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Take a deep breath. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Breathe. I want to breathe in the will of God. I want to breathe in your will. I want my heart to be in your will. I want to gaze in your will. I want to listen in your will. I want you, Lord, to be reigning in me. And that's why Jesus said to Louisa, I want you to be my skin. So such was the fullness of his love. While saying this, Jesus kept silent. Now, why does he keep silent? Again, he keeps silent because he wants us to meditate on this. What did Jesus just say? Are we God's echo? Are we God's love? Are we the little echo of God's life? Is God reigning in us? And he wants us to think about it. That's why he's silent. Am I your life? Are you my love? Are you my echo? And again, we have to get out of the way so that Jesus can reign. Okay, what does that mean? That means no more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. And that's a full-time job. Because God's going to test us. He's going to say, what about now? What about in this situation? Are you going to worry? Are you going to be worried? Are you going to be fearful? Are you going to be anxious? Are you going to complain? Are you going to be negative? What about this situation? What about this? He's constantly saying, can you begin to live my life of peace, joy, and happiness? Can you begin to live the life of my mother, peace, joy, and happiness? And when we say yes, he says, prove it. So he puts us in situations constantly to see what we're going to do. You know, with our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners. He's going to put us in situations to see whether we get upset, whether we complain or negative. So again, that's why he's silent. He kept silent. Why? He says, are you doing what I did? Are you my echo? Are you my love? Are you my little echo of my fiat? And then he added, my daughter, blessed one, every act done in my most holy divine will by mankind, by the creature, by Louisa at this point, is a day for her, a day full of divine happiness, full of all divine goods. So Jesus is showing us that that new day is coming. And he gives us a hint. He says to her, my blessed one. And in volume 13, November 8th, he says to Louisa, you will be called blessed. And when that happens, when she's right now, she's a servant of God. She'll be named venerable soon. And then she'll be named blessed. When she's named blessed, Jesus says this. He says very clearly, blessed one, every act done in my divine will by you, Louisa Picaretta, is a new day for you. A new full day of divine happiness. A new full day of all of God's goods. All of God's divine qualities. So that's coming soon. And so what Jesus is asking of us is, are you willing to begin to live this life? Can you give your fiat to live this new day, this full day, this day where he says it often, the full day of divine happiness, the full day of the divine goods. So he looks at us and he every time he talks to us in the book of heaven, he's talking to Louisa, but he's also talking to us, and he wants to hear our response. He wants to hear from us. Are you willing to begin to live this life? And when we say yes, then he goes, okay, I'm going to put you in situations to prove whether you're telling me the truth or not. Can you give your fiat to the things that will normally make you upset? Can you give your fiat to the things that will normally make you complain? Can you give your fiat? And so that's what we're learning. We're learning how to say yes to God in all situations. That's what Our Lady did. I want to please God in all things, but I don't know man. How can this be? And Jesus says, the angel says, it'll be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She says, let it be done to me as you say. That's what we learn in the divine will. No matter what you're going through throughout the day, it's let it be done to me as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission. It's just, you know, to be one with Jesus and to trust him enough to say, you know what's going on and I trust you. You know what this situation is about, and I trust you. I'm not going to worry about it. I trust you. I mean, it's like the Amazon's Senate. It's, you know, people are fretting what's coming and what's going to be said and what's going to be done. It doesn't matter. Let them do what they want. Jesus says that. You know, he says, let them go to war. Let them kill each other. He says, my kingdom's coming. I want the souls who want what I want. Let them do what they want to do to each other. And that's the peace that we have, is we pray that God's will be done. God's will is accomplished in us on earth, this dust on earth, as the saints possess God in heaven. So that's what he's waiting for. And he says this very clearly to us. So volume 36, 9-5, 1938, and he says, you must know, this is a command from Jesus Christ. You must know this. To live in the divine will, you have to understand this. You have to embrace it. You have to know it. You have to love it. You have to possess it. As the creature, this is Louisa, as Louisa enters our will, everything is transformed. So this is what's happened with Louisa. And now Jesus says, I want it to happen to you. So we say to Jesus, I want to enter into your will. I want this. Why? Because you, Jesus, promised that everything will be transformed. I want this. I don't want the human misery to be in charge anymore. I don't want the negativity, the misery any longer. I want to live in your kingdom. I want to possess what you want me to possess. Darkness is turned into light. Yes, we want this. We want no more darkness. We want light. And that's one of the things that helps you understand the divine will. The divine will is divine light. There's no darkness in it. Divine light. And Jesus says, when you sin, when you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, when you sin, you're entering into darkness, confusion. You're entering into misery. And he goes, don't go there. Stay in the light. Stay in the divine light. And this is what we use our free will for, to choose to live in God's will, to choose not to live in our human misery. And again, the human will is miserable. How do we know? Because that's what you say when you go to confession. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want this life any longer. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. And I want to live the life of God's will. I don't want to enter into misery anymore. I don't want to live a life of sin anymore. And so that's what we do every day. Every day in prayer, we're saying to God, I want to stay in this light. I don't want to lose this light. I don't want to enter into darkness anymore. Weakness into fortitude. Poverty into riches. Passions into virtue. Do you see what God is doing? It really is a transformation. The human misery is darkness, weakness, poverty, passions. What Jesus is asking of us is to enter into light, fortitude, riches, and virtue. That's what Jesus wants for us. And that's why he has given us this gift. He says, it's yours if you wish. It's yours if you want. So again, it's very, very important that throughout the day, there will be times that will be difficult. And that's a time of testing. Lead us not to the time of testing. Lead us not to that time of trial. It's a time that what Jesus was talking about is the end times that'll be so overwhelmingly dark that most people will fail the test. That's why Jesus says, pray that you don't have to be tested. Pray that you don't go into that darkness. And that's what we're really facing that now. And it's not to worry. It's to have such trust in Jesus, such hope in Jesus, such confidence in Jesus, that nothing bothers you. And again, Jesus says, you must know this. This is what it's all about. Her mutation is such that she is not the same as before. So it's a transmutation, as Jesus talks about, is to be changed completely inside and out. Transmutation is the element is changed completely inside and out. It's not the same element at all anymore. What does that mean? We're going to have a glorified body. We're going to think with the mind of Christ. We're going to remember, our memory is going to be of Him. And our human will is going to be at the foot of the throne of God's holy divine will. And we're going to have God's most holy divine will reigning in us. Remutation now is such that she's not the same. She's not in the darkness. She's not in her weakness. She's not in her poverty. She's not in her passions anymore. Her state is no longer one of the most wicked slave, but now it's of a noble queen. And so we can see that, like passions, people who have addictions, people who are oppressed, that's going to be gone. It can't be part of us. Oppression, it can't be there. The devils can't bother us anymore. The addictions that people have, and people are addicted to many, many things, and it's going to be gone. There'll be no more addictions. We're going to live the true life of Jesus, who had no addictions. We're going to live the true life of Mary, who had no addictions. So that's what's coming. We're not going to be, as he says here, the state is no longer one of most wicked of a wicked slave, a horrible slave, but that of a noble queen. We are going to share in divinity. This is what the priest prays every day at Holy Mass. May we share in the divinity. So this nobility, we're going to be, when we wear the scapular, it's the clothing of heaven. Jesus says, Adam lost his garment, the clothing of the divine will, and he was naked. He was no longer clothed nor with this divine nobility. And Jesus says, now it's coming back. Why? Why is it coming back? It's time, because Louisa is here. It's time because of what God has given to Louisa. So what God is looking at us, and he's saying to us, are you willing to begin to embrace the gift of gifts? Are you willing to begin to live the gift of gifts? And he says, and you're going to change from a most wicked slave to a noble queen. Our divine being loves Louisa so much that the divine being runs into Louisa's acts to do whatever Louisa does. Jesus, she says, breathe in my breathing. God says, fiat. How do we know this is true? Because right now with the priest, when the priest says, this is my body, our Lord obeys. When the priest says, I absolve you of your sins, the Lord obeys. He's commanded. And he does what the priest says. And as Catholics, we know this. Okay. Now Jesus says, you know, I want you to enter into the life that Adam had before the fall. Everything he said happened. Everything that he thought happened. He didn't say something and it didn't occur. Whatever he said, whatever he wished, occurred. So Jesus says this, our divine being loves Louisa so much that it runs into Louisa's acts to do whatever Louisa does. Now it's the same thing for us. When we begin to live in the divine will, to live in the will of God, this is what Jesus is saying to us as well. We will love you so much that we will run into your acts, every heartbeat, every breath, every thought, every word. This is why we put this into practice. It's not just to read and say, that's nice. It's to say, okay, let it begin. Let it happen. It says very clearly, to do whatever she does. And since our emotion is continuous, we move and we love her. We move and we hug her. Our emotion moves and it kisses her. It makes her more beautiful, more than the saint. Okay? The saints did the will of God. What Jesus is telling us about Louisa is Louisa lived in the will of God. And this is why Louisa will not be canonized. Louisa can't be canonized. Because it would be demean her. It would be saying Jesus should be a saint or Mary should be a saint. That's sanctity. This is what he says about the saints. The Son of the Divine Will, the S-U-N of the Divine Will is where the Divine Will reigns. That's God. And he says the saints will be like a halo around the sun. And you'll see St. Anthony, St. Francis, St. Clair. You'll see all the beautiful saints all around the sun. They are the ones who did the will of God. But the little children of the Holy Divine will enter into the sun and participate in God as God originally planned. God didn't create Adam to be a saint. He created Adam to be in God's image and likeness, to do what God does. Not to be God, but to share in divinity. So this is what's coming. And this is what God says. You have to understand this. He says, our emotion is continuous. We love her. We move and we hug her. Our motion moves and kisses her. It makes her more beautiful, more than the saint. What God is going to do, and now this is the same thing for us. If we are linked to Louisa, this is how we begin to live. We begin to live a life of unity with God, oneness with God. We don't become God. That doesn't happen. But it's the drop of water into the ocean. It's the drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice, and the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. That drop of water is nothing. Enters into the cup, fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It's the same thing. Jesus says, I want you to dive into the infinite ocean of the divine will. We're nothing. We're just a drop. Yet we enter into that ocean of the divine will, and everything in the ocean is ours. We participate in that ocean. And that's what God wants. He wants us to participate in Him. Everything that God possesses is ours. Now, since we're limited creatures, we're finite creatures in an infinite way with the divine will, what happens at that point is what each one of us participate in God. Okay, each one of us has different fingerprints, different irises, different, you know, heights, weights, colors. Why? Because God loves our uniqueness. So we can love God more than any other human can love God the way God has made us. We can love God perfectly, better than any other human. Why? Say, for example, you know, you think of a color red, get object. And then you know, some people have a different shade of red or a different hue, a different tone of red. And then somebody might think of an apple or a peach, an apple or a tomato or a fire truck. You know, everybody thinks of something different. Why? God wants our uniqueness. He doesn't want clones of the same thing. He made us infinitely different from one another. And therefore, He's asking us to fall in love with Him the way we are supposed to fall in love with God. Not the way, I mean, like you look at the religious communities and you have, you know, the Franciscan, the Dominicans, and they follow their founder or foundress. In the divine will, we're going to follow Jesus the way He has created us. He said, I want to make each person a divine masterpiece. We're completely unique. So what does He say? He says this, our emotion moves. It's continuous. We move and we love her. We move and we hug her. That's what God is doing with us. And we have to begin to understand this. We have to begin to feel this. Our emotion moves and kisses her. It makes her more beautiful, more than a saint. What God has planned, Scripture says it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. The saints don't know about it, yes. But the angels don't even know about it. It's all been hidden. What God is going to do for all eternity with the little children of the Holy Divine Will, it's Jesus says to Louisa, each person will seem to have their own Jesus, or their own unique oneness with God. That's what He has planned. He's going to marry us collectively as the church, but He's also going to marry us individually. So He says this, in every motion we give from ourselves the divinity, and in the emphasis of our divine love, we tell Louisa, and we tell the little children of the Holy Divine Will linked to Louisa, about our Supreme Being, making known who we are and how much we love her. So what's happening here at this point, again, God is going to reveal to us for all eternity. It's never going to end about the Supreme Being, who He is, making known who God is, the Triune God is, and how much we, the Triune God, love Louisa and God loves us. For all eternity, this is going to happen. God is going to be telling us, showing us, leading us, guiding us closer and closer to Him. And it's not anything that the saints know. It's not anything that the angels know. Why? This is the surprise of the little to the little children of the Holy Divine Will. For all eternity, like St. Thomas Aquinas says, the awe of God, the in the beatific vision, to be in awe of God for all eternity. That's what's going to be. Every microsecond is going to be more beautiful than the time before. And that's the moment before. Our God has got great, great, great plans for His children. And it's nothing that the saints know. It's nothing that we know. It's hinted at, it's talked about in the divine will, but the more we read it, the more God expands our capacity to understand it. The more that you read, again, He expands your capacity to understand. And this will go on for all eternity. He wants to fill us with Himself as much as we can possibly receive. And that's why He leaves it up to us. How much do you want? Do you want 30, 60, or 100-fold? What do you want? Jesus keeps on saying. I want to give you what you want. I, Jesus says, have a plan. I want to make you my divine masterpiece. But I can't interfere with your free will. Whatever you choose, I have to give you. And so therefore, the Lord is saying to us, the more that you learn, the more that you go read this, study this, the more that you put this into practice, the more you're going to receive. So He says this, we identify ourselves in Louisa. And Louisa identifies herself in the Triune God. Our divine will and her will are one to the extent that we, Triune God, feel Louisa in our divine motion. And as Louisa takes what is ours, Louisa loves us, and our love, and with our love, He says, and we give, and she, Louisa, gives us such our inaccessible love back to us, inaccessible light to glorify our divine sanctity and to praise us and to say, holy, holy, thrice holy are you. You enclose all. You are all. And this is the thing that is so astonishing about Louisa Picaretta. As we get to know Louisa Picaretta, as we get to draw closer and closer to her through these writings, the more we're going to be able to understand what God has planned. It's for us. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life. He needs us. He didn't ask the saints to do this. He asked us to do this. And he's waiting for us to embrace this. He's waiting for us to embrace this. He's so generous. He wants this accomplished yesterday. But He's waiting and waiting for us to say yes. And what does He want? I mean, listen, this, just put your name there. Our will and your will are one, to the extent that we, Triune God, feel you in our divine motion. And as you take what is ours, you love us with our love. You give us our inaccessible light. Why? To glorify our divine sanctity, to divinely praise us, saying, holy, holy, thrice holy are you. You, Triune God, enclose all. You, Triune God, are all. Now, when you think of this, this what Jesus is saying, I want you to begin to pray like this. I want you to begin. This is why the Echo Book is so important. It's not the prayers of the saints who didn't know the will of God. The prayers of the saints are beautiful. They're holy and saintly, but they're not divine will. What Jesus is asking of us is to begin to pray this way. To again, as He says, are we in our will one with God's? Is it one? Are we fused with God? Does our Triune God feel us in the divine motion? Are we one with God? Again, this is why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament with Jesus. It's to enter into this life of God. It's not just to sit, you know, in your pew and look at Jesus. I mean, or read a book. It's to enter into this life. To say to Jesus, take me where you want to take me. I'm totally surrendered to you. Whatever you want is what I want. And she takes what is ours. She takes what is divine. Do we take what is divine? Do we love God, the triune God, with God's own divine love? Do we give the triune God God's own inaccessible light to glorify God's divine sanctity, to praise the triune God? And so he says, this is what I'm waiting for. Holy, holy, thrice holy are you. You, Lord, God Almighty, you enclose all, you are all. So here is a prayer, a simple prayer that God is asking us to pray, to memorize this and to pray it when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, to especially in the monstrance, to look at Jesus and to adore him and to love him and to praise him. How beautiful it is to see the human smallness inside our magnificent divine will, having in its power, the soul having in its power our divine being, to give it back to us, triune God, to love us, triune God, to glorify us, triune God, as we, triune God, want and as we, triune God, justly deserve. God deserves to be loved divinely. And he says the saints' love is there, but if it wasn't done in the divine will, he says it's really nothing. See, God deserves divinity. God deserves it. He is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He is our Savior, our King, our Master. The Father is in glory, is there. The Holy Spirit is reigning. And God is saying, do you recognize this? Can you give back to me what is mine? And that's what the whole reason for the divine will. That's what God is waiting for. What we want, what we, triune God, justly deserve. In our divine will, the parts become equal. Dissimilarities disappear. For example, the drop of water entering into the cup of wine, the drop of water becomes wine. If you were a drop of oil, it'll sink to the bottom. It can't participate with the wine. And so Jesus is saying, in your nothingness, he says, you'll participate in me. And that's what God wants. He says very clearly, in our will, the parts become equal. Dissimilarities disappear. Our unity unites everything and everyone, making one the act of everyone, past, present, and future, to become the act of everyone, past, present, and future. So what God is asking is, he's saying, now is the time for this new beginning for mankind. Now is the time that God has planned for this to happen. Now, how do we know this? Because of Louisa. Because Louisa was given this, now Jesus is saying, now that she possesses it, he says, I would like to give this to as many people as want it before the kingdom comes. And he looks at us. We're nobody. We're nothing. He looks at us and he says, I want you to possess everything I gave to Louisa. Do you want it? And when we say yes, he says, then let me see it. Let me see it in you. So it's as you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, little by little, God is having his way with you. He's teaching you. He's leading you. And he says this, our unity unites everything and everyone, making one of the acts everyone. So an eye blink, a step, your heartbeat, one breath. He says, it's everyone that's beating in your heart beating. And that's what we present to God. You know, every night before we go to bed, when we do our act of contrition, we say to Jesus, I'm sorry for everything that I've done. I'm sorry for everything my brothers and sisters have done, from the beginning of time to the end of time. I am sorry, Lord, and I pray that all that we did outside the divine will is gone, that everything is redone in the divine will, as if none of the sin, none of the things separate from you have ever happened. Now what happens is that's transforming the face of the earth. Jesus says he's doing it. All we're doing is doing what Jesus taught Louisa, and that's to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, repairing and redoing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. 536, 9, 18, 19, 38. This is my divine way. For all the evils creatures may do, I, Jesus, never move my works. I, Jesus, always preserve them with my creative power and virtue. For love of those who offend me, I, God, always love them without ceasing. If we never move, our works are accomplished, remaining always beautiful, doing good to and for everyone. But if we moved, all things would go into ruin, and no good would be accomplished. So Jesus is showing us that he's constant. God is constant, and he needs us to recognize his constancy. He's love. He's complete love. And with that love, he says, what does he say? We love them without ceasing. We never move. Our works are accomplished, remaining always beautiful, doing good to everyone and for everyone, past, present, and future. So Jesus is saying to us, I want you to enter into this life. I want you to begin to live this life of the love of God, being one with God. He says, therefore, in this too, I want you with me. What does he want? He wants us in his love. He wants us to participate in divine love, not human love. Divine love. So he's asking us to begin to learn how to live divinely in love. See, the divine will is total love. There's no worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, or sin. The divine will is Jesus gazing in our gazing. That's love. Jesus listening in our listening. That's love. Jesus speaking in our speaking. That's love. Jesus walking in our walking. That's love. He says, this is the life I want you to live. And he says, it's constant love, constantly calling us to enter into this divine love. So when we look at ourselves and we recognize our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, and our sin, we say to Jesus, I don't want to live like this anymore. God goes, good. I don't want you to live like this. Then we go, how do I begin to live like this? The life that you're asking. And Jesus says, it's very simple. Look at my mother, Mary. What did she do? She said, fiat mihi. Let it be done to me as you say. Always fiat. He says, look at Louisa. What did Louisa do? She said, Via voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign in me, on earth, in this dust, as the saints possess you in heaven. Everything becomes fiat. Fiat is yes to God. Fiat is, all I want is what you want. If we trust him, if we believe in him, if we hope in him, if we have confidence in him, there's no worry. It's he is one with us and we are one with him. That's why he keeps on saying, I want you to enter into this love, without a love without ceasing. This great gift of the divine will is ours if we wish. Therefore, in this too, I want you with me. Okay, he wants us to dive into this infinite ocean of love. Always still, never moving from inside my divine will, never leaving him, always being one with him. Doing what you've done until now, be attentive to listening to me, for us, be attentive in reading what Jesus has said to Louisa, to be the narrator of my will, to be the one who receives this voice of Jesus, this word of God, of God's most holy divine will. So he says, I want you to begin to do this. Listen to me or read. Be the narrator or let Jesus speak to you. Let Jesus speak to you through Louisa. And if you do this, he says you will begin to live this life of love. You'll enter, you're the drop of water miles above the Pacific Ocean, dropping into the Pacific Ocean. Infinite ocean of God. Infinite ocean of God's love. And he wants us, this nothing that we are, entering into him to participate in God. This infinite ocean of divine love. This is what God is asking of us, and this is what he's waiting for. He's waiting for us. Again, the best time is at Holy Communion, and to say, yes, I want what you want. I want to enter into this infinite ocean of love. I never want to leave it. I want to be one with you, fused with you. I never want to leave you. I always want to be with you. And that's what God's waiting for. He's speaking to us through Louisa so he can hear us respond back to him. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.